What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Back Cracking edition of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 13, Texas Chiropractic College, for February 1st, 2012. Our special guest today is Dr. Barry Wise. He's the Dean of Clinics for the Texas Chiropractic College here in Pasadena, Texas. Today, we don't have any sort of pre-show because I expect the show to be a little bit long. We've got a lot of questions, and Mr. Wise is a very wise man. He's got lots of answers. So,
I like that. He's a wise
man. That was right off the top of my head. See, I'm getting good at this thing. All right, so Dr. Wise is the Dean of Clinics at Texas Chiropractic College. He's been in the profession for 18 years. He wrote a whole bunch in his bio, and so I'm going to kind of let him answer those or describe that stuff to him throughout the course of the interview. But he's been a clinical instructor at two previous chiropractic colleges. He was a co-owner of a multidisciplinary sports practice in Boulder, Colorado. He is board certified in neurology, sports medicine, strength and conditioning, and then lots of other stuff. But a couple interesting tidbits. He's played rugby, men's rugby at a high level, and he's an avid kayaker and just basically an all-around athlete. So athletic training, sports medicine, those things kind of hit real close to home for Dr. Wise, and so that's why we're real fortunate to have him in here today, and he's going to talk about the connection between athletic training and chiropractics and bridging some of the gaps and things like that. So good?
Yeah, ready.
I forgot to introduce. I got lots of people here on the mic today. We got Bill, Doc Hale, we got Michelle, of course, Dr. Wise, got Alondra over there, Mariah, Sarah. We got several people taking pictures, videotaping, stuff like that. So lots of stuff going on today. All right. Without much further ado, now to the discussion points. All right. So, like I said, you got a lot going on your bio here. So tell me a little bit about your background. I saw that you played rugby and kayak and that kind of thing. So did you play, sports at college? Tell me just basically about your background.
I grew up in the Midwest. I played the probably typical Midwest summer and spring sports, softball, football, things like that. And I ran a lot, raced bicycles, these types of things. And decided along the way, following an injury, it was actually I broke my ankle and got out of the cast and was limping, had troubles, and some friends of mine at the time suggested that I go see a chiropractor, which to me didn't make any sense at all because from what I understood, they worked with backs only. Long story short, I went to a chiropractor. The very next day, I could run upstairs, which is something I hadn't been able to do up until that point. And so I thought, well, this is pretty cool. To give you a little bit of a background, at the time I was working at a car dealership and I had no interest in doing other things, but I was kind of tickled by the idea of being a physical therapist.
Yeah.
I was in a city in the Midwest where there happens to be a chiropractic college, but I hadn't given it any thought. So I ended up, because of this experience, looking further into that profession and realizing that I could do the same things, essentially, that a physical therapist does in this profession. And the school was right there, so that's how I got started. I continued the personal sports practice in various sports throughout the years after that, and that kind of flavored my approach to chiropractic care as well.
All right. So,
wow. That's quite a bit.
Kind of a fell into chiropractic.
Yeah, literally. Via bad broken ankle.
Wow. Barry, have you had any other jobs or careers? If so, what made you switch? And if not, why did you choose it?
Well, as I mentioned, the car dealership work, I did that for 8 years, which was kind of intriguing to me. But since then, I've been involved in fixing my curiosity about what makes people tick and what makes them work, and repairing people, if you want to use a car analogy. I've been at a couple of other chiropractic colleges working as a clinical instructor, which simply means like I'm a teacher in a clinic setting providing care to patients that come in while students learn with me. And I've moved to Texas a year ago to take over the entire clinical program at the chiropractic college here in Pasadena. So I basically went from enjoying the heck out of doing what I was doing with patients to getting to the point where I could have control over what the experience was for everybody in the clinical realm at a chiropractic college.
All right. I want to, like I said, I was reading, there's a whole lot in your bio. I want to jump back up for a second. It says you competed in duathlons, mm-hmm. marathons, road bike racing, mountain bike racing, and adventure racing. Mm-hmm. That one intrigues me. The other ones I can figure out. What's adventure racing?
Adventure racing is really true multi-sport racing. It involves everything from running to orienteering to mountain climbing to mountain biking to whitewater rafting, horseback riding, trail running, all blended together. Races are typically anywhere from 6 hours to 6 days long and all over the world.
Wow. So have you competed in those down here?
No.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like something that...
No, there probably are some shorter versions in the state somewhere, but this was mostly in the Midwest and in Colorado area. There's lots of this.
Yeah,
kind of
I can see
there.
In Colorado for sure.
Yeah.
Orienteering. That's reading a compass and finding your direction in case you don't know.
It's basically trying to get somewhere fast without getting lost, more lost than you already are.
All right. That'll work. All right, so we'll go ahead and continue there. So used car sales, about 8 years, and then...
Well, yeah, actually, just to be fair, I worked in the service department. My life revolved around fixing things that were broken, which kind of, again, tempered my interest in the human body because it's a lot harder to figure out than a car. I think the challenge was what attracted me more than anything and continues to.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so you said you control the entire experience for everybody now as the clinical instructor?
The clinical experience. I'm charged with making sure that two things happen. One, that the students get the best possible clinical experience they can while they're at the college. And two, making sure that we provide the best possible care to the people that trust us for that. Not only the people that are on campus that see us for care, but people that come off the street. We have an outpatient clinic as well, lots of clinics around the area. All of those things, we have to provide the best possible care, which in turn actually helps provide the best possible experience for the students. If they're observing, just like in athletic training or anything else,
right.
If they're observing the best care, it helps teach them in the best way.
Makes sense.
It's difficult to show them bad care and then talk about something else on a chalkboard.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You got to practice what you preach.
Correct.
So they'll see what they, or they'll do what they see kind of thing.
Yes.
So, all right. So do you actually have kids in class, or you're more of like an administrator?
No, I am an administrator. Yeah, exactly. I have lots of clinical practice experience, but I currently don't personally see patients. Although I know everything there is to know about seeing patients, so I can answer any questions about that for sure. But my day revolves around a desk right now, and not so many patient visits.
Okay. Well, then, do you have any of the info about the chiropractic college, maybe like how many students you have there? Do you
sure.
know those numbers?
Yeah, we have right now about 285 students at the college.
All right.
As chiropractic colleges go, we're smaller than most, but we actually like it that way because we can make changes faster and stay on the cutting edge of the profession much easier than colleges that are larger, and it's harder to make change.
Right. So... If you have about 285 students, is that about 2 years? Is it 4 years?
Across the country, it's pretty much the same. Chiropractic programs are the equivalent of 5 years, but they squeeze it together into 3 years and a third, or 3 years and 4 months. To give you an example of what that means, summer break for chiro students means about 3 weeks, not 2.5 months. And they're very little break. They're nonstop, and they carry very large credit loads. 25, 28 credits at a time.
So
it's a full-time job.
So coming out of high school, I could go to, or I'd have to go out, come from a bachelor's degree.
Right, a bachelor's degree, 4-year degree, and then into Cairo College. Yeah. So it's the whole trip from high school would be 7.5 years approximately.
Gotcha.
So what would be their study recommendation in college, pre-med or?
Yeah, it's helpful to have health sciences, biological sciences, these types of things. But we do have people that have wide and varied backgrounds and
like a business degree
potentially, and then admissions counselors go through and look at that and see, well, what kinds of things do you need in order to matriculate or enter the college based on this different background.
Well, because I can understand that, because if you were going to be like, say, be a chiropractor profession on your own, mm-hmm. you're going to need to have business
absolutely
skills too.
We have
to run a business. So.
We have business training as part of our curriculum as well, because it's really not a good idea to turn people loose on the street without some knowledge about how to
run a business,
how to pay rent and things like this.
Right.
Sweet. Okay. Can you define chiropractic for us?
Well, I'll tell you the 25-word or less version, because you're going to hear lots of different possible versions. But the best one I can think of would be that chiropractors diagnose, conservatively treat, and in most cases help prevent musculoskeletal conditions. Now, when I say conditions, I don't just mean injuries. I mean conditions. For instance, headaches caused by muscle problems in the neck, as an example, may not be due to an injury, but it could be due to something else. So we have a large umbrella of responsibility relative to the musculoskeletal types of things that can walk in your office at any time. Those are the primary things we work with.
Okay, what body systems, basically? Is it just spine?
The spine and extremities, both. Yeah, chiropractors are typically known for, and I'll tell you that the majority of their training revolves around the spine.
Right.
And it always will be, I'm sure of that. Schools do teach how to treat, or examine rather, and treat extremity problems. In addition to that, there's lots of extra training that you can get, board certifications, et cetera, in sports injuries and so forth. But while we treat the whole body from a musculoskeletal standpoint, our focus is typically around the spine.
Around the spine.
Yeah, like and that being said, you'll find some chiropractors that practice only around the spine and don't touch anything else. It is kind of their personal decision to do that in some respects.
Okay. So I guess it's a little bit more than 25 words. I think you went over your 25-word
really?
Definition.
No, I wasn't counting.
Well, I added something to it, so made him go over.
No. I think that's a good working definition, so we're good.
I'll make my other answer shorter.
Oh, no. No worries. I just
used the 25-word. Because I've heard more from chiropractors, so than just around the spine that they could, you know.
Yeah, it's a very...
Relieve illnesses.
Well, it depends on... Listen, the training is... Our training is designed to allow us to judge. If you came into my clinic as an example, and I'll use headache again as an example, it's my responsibility to find out if you're a good candidate for my care or not. Right. Your headache may not be caused by anything I can have anything to do with. At the same time, though, I need to know that and know what to do with you, where to send you. So the responsibility is pretty broad that way. I will add to what your statement was, though, and there are schools that have different teaching philosophies, different practice philosophies about the profession that may tend to lend themselves more towards curing illnesses that aren't part of more of an evidence-based mainstream approach. Our school is not one of those, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Our school is extremely... We're devoted to teaching our soon-to-be chiropractors to be integrated with the healthcare system, not standalone, which means identifying illnesses, if you'd like, that need to be shipped off to someone else for proper care, and co-managed if they have other problems that we would work on.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So you talked briefly about preventing injuries, you know, and when possible. Usually people don't come to see you to prevent an injury.
Typically, right.
Typically, you know, they come to you when there is a problem.
Correct.
But that's a big part of what we do as athletic trainers. So what could you give me to take away, or what can chiropractors do to help prevent injuries? So like if maybe I have a... I don't know, maybe a kid that had an ankle injury and it's maybe a recurring thing. Mm-hmm. What could you do, or what can chiropractors do to help prevent a further or future injury for that kid?
Well, it's a great question. And I'm going to answer it kind of a broad way.
All right.
Chiropractors can do everything that a PT or an ATC, if you like, can do if they have the training and the wherewithal and desire to do those types of things. This weekend, I happen to be doing a lecture in Memphis on this very subject, on proper approaches to sports injuries, including rehab and the general theories of rehab and things like that. But it's a postgraduate seminar that people are paying to go to, and they're paying to go to it because they're not getting it in college when they go through. Chiropractors possess the ability, but maybe not the training, depending on who you go to adequately address an ankle sprain to keep it from recurring. Typically, those problems are because someone didn't fully rehab the ankle. There's lots of things that could have fallen off. In my experience, and I'm sure in everyone else here that's got experience with ankle sprains, if you don't take them beyond just the lack of pain, you're looking for a recurring injury.
Of course.
It's going to happen. And now, keep, you know, so this is going to be a little longer winded probably than you wanted, but keep in mind too that if someone's going into an office and paying for visits as they would in a typical chiro office, mm-hmm. versus as a student potentially coming in to see you, the compliance to care sometimes drops off too, because frankly in today's economy there's costs involved, and people will weigh the idea between, well, my ankle doesn't hurt anymore, but he says I need to keep coming back, but I need a tank of gas. And I mean,
yeah.
So you fight those battles as well. Every situation is a bit unique. Chiropractors possess the abilities and maybe the training to adequately address and prevent future ankle sprains in that case. But that doesn't mean that every chiropractor you're going to go to is going to do a good job of it.
All right, so maybe I think what I was really wanting for this question is you kind of what you just said was you had people paying for this postgraduate course.
Yes.
Can you give me the sampler version of that course? Like, well, really, I just want to improve my practice.
Sure.
So is there something that you would, you know, hey, this is one of the big keys that we could do as
sure.
chiropractors?
Yeah, I think that the keys that we set forth are the same that occur in athletic training. The first is going to be goal setting, appropriate goal setting, stages of care,
mm-hmm.
Adequately assessing the injury to make sure you're addressing all of the things that are involved, working beyond the ankle, looking at the limb and how the limb is integrated with the rest of the body. Again, the goal setting plays a big role. Are we bringing someone who is a housewife back to normal or a professional athlete? And do we have a timeline that we have to adhere to? All of those things play a role. Then obviously taking people out of pain, getting them back to full strength, endurance, obviously range of motion, proprioceptive training, getting them to a functional level that fits back into their lives, which is what they come in for. You know, most people don't come in, they say they come in because of pain, but the reality is they're coming in because pain is screwing up something in their lives. And that's what you need to get them back to.
Right.
They want to be out of pain, yeah, but, you know, pain is messing up something. It hurts me to sit here for an hour, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm interested in getting back to. And if you have that as a goal, not just to get me out of pain, but to get me out of pain while I'm sitting for an hour, it changes care.
All right. So I think that's a good typically, we'll just, not typically, but, you know, athletic trainers might just say, okay, well, you know, I want you to do rehab. And then, but if we were to maybe take a more systematic approach where we say, hey, okay, this is what we're going to do first, and once you know the pain is all gone, mm-hmm. then we'll begin to do this, and then this, and then this, and kind of lay it out for them, and maybe made more of a goal-centered or, you know, checklist-type approach,
correct.
Then it might help.
Yeah, here's a rule of thumb that I used to teach, and I tell clinicians now. If there was a person in the parking lot holding a clipboard and interviewing your patients as they left or your athletes as they left, all of them should know each day as they leave why they have to come back. So they know where they are in this continuum of care, where they are, where they're going. They obviously know where they've been, but they're educated and they understand. It typically makes a more compliant patient, which means you get to keep them longer and the results end up being better.
All right, well, we can just end the interview
like
now.
That.
I got my takeaway.
Yeah, I like that one. I like that a bunch. So then if you use that, then you could probably say that that's another way you can, you know, the next question is talking about rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that point there that the athletes have, you know, from each step, they know what tomorrow is going to bring.
Right.
So they know why they need to come back tomorrow
yes.
as far as a future goal. Of course, for an athlete, it's to get back playing. That's would be their goal in rehabilitation is so they're back playing at a full capability like they were before they got hurt. So how could chiropractors benefit us, athletic trainers?
Well, you know, I knew that that question was coming. So I was thinking about it, and I think that, you know, chiropractic care by itself, if you like, most people think of chiropractic care as working with the spine, particularly what are known as manipulations of the spine, cracking the spine, if you'd like.
Right.
You might be familiar with that.
Yeah, as I said in the intro.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's kind of the core of what chiropractors do, and that's how the profession was ultimately invented, if you'd like, over 100 years ago. And that cracking, again, manipulation, or even known as adjusting, is a way to restore normal biomechanics at a joint level throughout the body. And that's necessary, obviously, for maximum function. So okay. That's the short answer to your question. The reality is, though, I've worked with lots of trainers, and it's a matter of understanding what each of us can provide in that particular case or in that particular program, knowing our roles and working together. We do a lot of the same thing. We are a little bit different flavors of ice cream, but we're still ice cream. We still approach things in a physical medicine way.
Right.
Hands-on with patients in the trenches, if you like, day-to-day. Our training is just somewhat different, a little bit. But we do a lot of the same things. So how can chiropractors help athletic trainers? It really depends on the situation. It depends on what your role would be as a trainer in a particular program or organization or with a team, and then what I can bring to it based on my training experience, where I fit in with that particular program, that type of thing. So the answer is lots of different ways.
He's a politician.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Are you running for president?
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, as always, we have our school bell, so the first set of kids can go to lunch.
I'm glad you guys heard that, too.
Yeah, it means lunch.
Okay, real quick, I'm going to go back to your bio. It says you worked for a chiropractor as a professional hockey team.
Yes.
And what's a Super League rugby team?
Super League rugby in the United States is made up of, I think there's 20 teams currently. There may be 22. I think it may have expanded. Of the top amateur rugby teams in the country. Not college, but men's. Most of the people playing are ex-professionals from other countries, anywhere from in Europe and Southern Hemisphere countries. But it's the top teams in the country, and they basically fly around the country and play each other. Yeah, so it's pretty high level.
And so when you say
lots of people, I'm sorry to interrupt, lots of people in Super League that play for the U.S. team as well.
So when you worked as the team trainer slash chiropractor, mm-hmm. were you traveling with them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Wow. Now, when they talk about minor league baseball, you're taking a bus. You said y'all got to fly?
We fly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, long hours on a bus with stinky, sweaty guys.
Yeah, I've been on the bus before. I've worked with another rugby team that we were regional, so we would bus everywhere, but typically, 8 to 10 hours at a time, and it was pretty bad. But, traveling with a team like that, whether it's professional or high level, it's cool to talk about. It's a great experience, but I'm going to tell you that it's very difficult. It's a lot of hard work. You have to really, really enjoy what you're doing. And your payment, if you'd like, in a lot of cases, is the fact that you're doing stuff that you like doing.
Right.
You know, and you get better at your craft as well. Every time you think you know everything, something else comes up you've never seen before.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an internship with the Texans, and, you know, all through college, that's what I want to do. I want to work with the NFL. Well, you know, I'm glad I had the great experience, but I'm glad I'm not, choosing that now. So
I would spend all week in practice, and I would have to head to the airport Friday afternoon, and I wouldn't come home till Sunday. It's a little tough on the wife and dogs.
The dogs.
So, okay. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around some, but all right. So we talked some about controversy. There are a lot of athletic trainers that just do not like chiropractors, mm-hmm. right? And so you said, you know, there's lots of different thoughts, and, you know, your college is evidence-based, and you're integrating into the medical field, so they're part of the medical field, and they're not standalone. And I think we've kind of addressed some of the things. And really what I want to do here is build a relationship or bridge a gap. And mm-hmm. it's not about you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing. It's really how can we work together? What can we do to maybe sway those people that are kind of on the fence with chiropractors. So real quick, I had a personal story where I was working a volleyball tournament, and one of the coaches came in and said, hey, I have a, you know, our team doctor wants to look at one of our athletes. Can they do that? And then, you know, I come over and it's a doctor of chiropractor, and I'm wondering, is he trained to look at the injuries at the same level that I am? So would it have been better for, again, I'm not really saying right or wrong, comparing to one's better than the other. I'm just, in my opinion, it's like, I'm a little bit, I guess, because I hear from more athletic trainers more than the chiropractors, I'm a little bit jaded. Mm-hmm. And so is he as trained or as qualified, I guess, to look at that injury and then to move on from there?
That injury? No. That's a general statement.
Okay.
Again, take a chiropractor that doesn't have special training right out of the box versus an athletic trainer right out of the box. Put them both in that injury, and the AT is better qualified to handle that.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to it's definitely better qualified to handle that because you have a lot more training in emergent athletic conditions like that, ligament injury grading, these types of things, than chiropractors do, which is a more of a broad, more general scope until they decide to specialize, typically in a postgraduate way. So out of the box, fresh graduate, both schools, the AT is better off.
Okay. And so, you know, obviously we're having to make generalized statement because I don't have his specialization here and stuff like that. But he was doing some, like he was pressing it. It was something about her quad. She's strained her quad. Mm-hmm. And so he was pressing his thumb deep into her quad. And in my opinion, that's causing more bruising and causing more swelling to cause more damage to lengthen the recovery process. But again, I don't know everything. And so that's just my understanding.
I would stop you there and say you just made my point.
Okay. So, all right. There we go. Good enough.
That's better than just harping on that. So, yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean.
It all depends on the situation.
It all depends on the situation. I wasn't there. But what you're describing is a situation I've seen quite often. And it again, reinforces my point that, you know, without appropriate training for those types of injuries and experience with them, especially as you gain through schooling as an athletic trainer, you're going to do things like that might be provocative to an injury and prolong its recovery time and et cetera and so forth, let alone the fact that injured quad is attached to a patient that perceives pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was grimacing pretty good.
Right. So, yeah. So I'm going to stand by my statement.
All right.
That's good. Let's move on. I got a couple of questions here, and there's some the way they're written. I'm not going to ask them per se the way they are. But on the first one, what is the current demands for new chiropractors? Is this a growing field, or is it, you know, maintaining or shrinking or whatever?
It's actually growing. Chiropractic is the third largest healthcare profession in the U.S. behind medicine and dental or dentists. It's definitely growing. We have over 50,000 practicing chiropractors or licensed chiropractors in the United States right now alone. It's expanding out into other countries as well. It's very exciting stuff. Brazil, which is a very cool country if you've never been to it. My wife's from Brazil, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. recently got the profession into its country. It's the size of the United States. And they didn't have chiropractic at all until 10 years ago, and now they've got 250-odd chiropractors practicing there. It's growing all over the world, to be honest with you. Patients often, and there's also a growing demand for alternative and complementary types of medicine.
So if I can jump in real quick, if someone gets trained in the States, can they work in Brazil, or in Brazil they can work in the States?
Yeah, actually, getting trained in the States right now, or a couple of colleges in Europe, and actually a couple in the Southern Hemisphere, is your best bet. There are two schools in Brazil, to give you an example of your question. But if you graduate from either one, you cannot practice in the U.S. The U.S. has pretty strict guidelines. You have to pass 4 levels of national board exams before you can get licensed in I think it's pretty much every state now. So it's not just about getting your diploma. You have to prove that you're worthy of it as well. In I could graduate from here, though, and not take any of the national boards and go to Brazil and practice. Now, as long as Brazil lets me in and as a foreigner. And,
right.
You know, so there's those issues that you have to deal with. But from a training perspective, if you're getting trained in the U.S., that's the gold standard.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, what happens on after graduation from Texas Chiropractic College? I mean, where do they go? Like to residency, you know, or do they just jump right on and start their own practice? I mean, basically, what's their salary range from? I mean, just a broad range.
It's never enough.
Yeah. Well, that's with everybody's income. It's never enough.
Right.
But just those who are listening have an idea that might be interested going to chiropractic. You know, what is, you know, I know they could research it and find out. But
sure. Typically, across the country, the average income is in the mid-70s, $75,000 a year. And that varies considerably. Those that are in private practice can make considerably more, and it depends on where they are.
Right.
Somebody practicing in Beverly Hills will probably make more money than someone somewhere else, as an example, or Aspen, Colorado, that type of thing. What do they do after graduation? It's typically, there's split between several things. One is they can go into private practice. One, they join a practice that is existing already, often to gain some more experience maybe, and then go out on their own or get a sense of where they want to live in the world. And another...
to get their feet wet, basically.
Yeah, kind of, right. It's kind of like an internship, for instance, but you're getting paid and joining a thriving practice. You know, you're busy. The other way to go about it, too, is it's increasingly popular is to veer off and use kind of a blended approach. As an example, we've got an agreement with a local university to offer a master's in human performance, in fitness and human performance with UH Clear Lake. And we have people enrolled in that program at the same time that they're taking our DC degree, a doctor chiropractic degree. And when they get out, they may not go into practice. They may go into teaching, for instance, because of this degree that they carry with them. So it can be somewhat varied. Or you can do like me and graduate and go into practice and do these things and then go out and get a master's in something, health administration in my case, and then go back into healthcare administration, which is what I do now.
Yeah.
So lots of options.
Lots of options, yes.
So what would you say would be the one thing that is most common? Joining a practice that's already established?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
God, I think it'd be kind of hard to start your own practice.
It is. It's difficult.
And make it survive without the...
Probably, in my experience anyway, and thousands of students over the years, I'd say about 3/4 of them join an existing practice for between a year and 2 years, and then go out on their own.
Yeah. Okay. We kind of move on because we're running out of time. Well, let's get
all right,
to
so
the
now we're going
to
get to the student section. Let me turn on. All right, Michelle, can you introduce yourself?
I'm Michelle.
All right. I just want to make sure I could hear, make sure I turned up the right knob. All right, so we'll have Michelle ask some questions, Mariah, Alondra. We also have some for Fernando, Brian, Anna Karen. If you guys don't want to ask, then we can get one of the other people too. So I think, Mariah, you're starting us off. Can you see the screen, Mariah?
Yes.
All right, make sure you... This is actually, I think, Mariah's question, so...
But if I'm right here, I can't see the question, right? Hold on.
Well, if it's your question, you should see it. You should know it.
Is constantly popping your back bad?
That's a good question. I hear that way more than you can probably imagine. The answer is yes and no, and I'll explain. If you're popping your back by forcibly twisting yourself, like grabbing the hold of the back of a chair or a stair rail or having somebody pull on you, that's bad. If you're simply turning in a normal range of motion without assistance from something else, without leverage, and you get popping, that's okay. And that's true for fingers, neck, back, everything.
Oh.
So when you
if you're adding stress somehow to it beyond just what you can do with your own muscles, turning that is, that's bad. And the reason it's bad is because it puts a non-specific force through the area It's not being put through the area by someone with lots of training and knows what they're doing. It's putting, you're just twisting the heck out of everything and hoping for some sound. and it's not a very good idea because you might end up twisting the wrong thing too far.
Okay.
So you're saying if they're just stretching their back,
yes,
and it pops,
yes,
that's okay.
Yes.
But if they're trying to make it pop.
Like if they're trying to make it pop through external means, if that makes sense.
Like you said, leverage.
Leverage, you got it. I see it all the time, grabbing the arm of a chair and twisting, or even more, grabbing a hold of your jaw and your head and giving it a good... I mean, that's really not helpful. Now, do you experience pain when you do it? Well, most people say, no, I feel better when I do it, which is kind of the basis behind chiropractic work in some degree. But remember, you're trusting that nothing bad's going to happen when that goes on. I mean, you're doing it because in the past you've gotten some relief. You may end up hurting yourself doing that. It's not a good idea, number one. Number two, if you do it a lot, the ligaments, the things that hold your joints together, can become more loose.
Arthritis.
Which can lead to problems like arthritis and other issues down the road when you get really old like me.
All right, Alondra, I think we're going to have to skip this next question because we're going to be short on time. She wanted to know if you could demonstrate any of these techniques. When we talked to Fred, he said he was going to bring a student, and so I didn't know if maybe there would be a chance where...
I'll tell you what, I'll make an offer. Anyone here, every Friday we have a campus visit day where we actually show everyone that's there what it's like to adjust a patient. You're welcome to join anytime if you contact the college, the enrollment management section of the college. Anyone listening to this can go and watch. It's no problem.
And then what time is that normally? Is that all day?
It starts in the morning, and I believe it finishes early afternoon. But, you know, we can customize it for you if you're just interested in watching to see what that looks like.
Okay.
Not a problem.
All right, so if you guys want to go check it out. Well, we're going to try to, but...
Field trip.
Or I'll tell you what, I can modify it even further. If you contact me and you've got my card, I'll bring you over to our clinic and just have you observe clinical care right in the clinic.
Sounds good. That's why I like bringing people in.
Yeah.
Okay, so Michelle, I think you have the next one.
How can you improve back pain?
That's a general question, so I'm going to have to give you a general answer, which is by talking to you, finding out when you get the pain, figuring out what might have caused it, doing an examination, looking at you to see what might be wrong and causing the pain, and then coming up with a way to fix it. Keep in mind, though, that there is no doctor or no healthcare practitioner on the planet that can fix everything. So by going to a chiropractor, you're going to go to someone who has a lot of experience with back pain, but that person may decide that you're not a good candidate for what they do and send you off to someone else because your back pain is being caused by something that won't respond to what we do. That's key, too. If you get a hold of somebody that no matter what you bring to them, they always have the answer all the time, you might be in the wrong place.
All right. Is that good enough for you, Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, Anna?
Do you treat your family and do you see a chiropractor yourself?
Yes, yes. I'm surrounded by them all day. I work on my wife. My son is actually in New York in college, so I can't beat on him at all. But that's a joke. It's my wife is actually a chiropractor as well and a physical therapist, and I work on her.
So does it run in the family? Like,
nope.
Does your son do it?
No, he wants to be a dentist. Actually, I don't know why. It was an airline pilot a couple of years ago, but now it's a dentist, so there you go. I don't know what it'll be in 2014.
I'm on break. Where did your son go to school?
In upstate New York.
What college?
Monroe Community College right now, moving on to other colleges from there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Because I have one at King's College. So.
Oh, yeah.
So just... want to throw that one in there.
We should mail our tuition checks together to that part of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, Fernando and Brian don't want to speak on the mic, so Sarah, can you see the next question? Sarah, you want to ask Fernando's question? Alondra, why don't you ask Brian's question? Is that what I just said? Just ask the next question, Alondra.
What's your average time to treat a patient?
Typically, if you came in as a new patient, the treatment time could be anywhere from 45 minutes to over an hour, depending on what's wrong with you and how deep we have to go into it. And after you're coming in for regular visits, they can be as little as 10 or 15 minutes. And as long as a half an hour. If you've got, if we're working with rehab, for instance, rehab takes time. It's just part of rehab. So it could take longer. It's an individual thing. But between 15 and 30 minutes for an average visit, and between 45 minutes and maybe an hour and a half for a new visit, that's pretty typical, I think, across the country, I bet you find.
All right, Sarah?
What is your normal feedback?
From patients, I assume? Patients are, and this is a pretty well-known fact, patients are very, very satisfied across the board with chiropractors when they see them. Chiropractors take a lot of time. I mean, 15 minutes to 30 minutes for a patient visit is much longer than you'd get if you went to a medical doctor, typically. Patients express high levels of satisfaction across the board with chiropractors. Primarily, it's, and we have to guess at some of this, because of the time that's spent, because of the listening that occurs in the room as well, and the hands-on approach, which is typically a good thing. A lot of doctors, you may go into them and they may not even touch you during the 2 minutes or 3 minutes you have, if you get to see them.
What right. consists of a normal checkup?
Normal checkups are a patient history. That means talking to you, finding out why you're in there, and then doing an examination, telling you what we think is wrong with you, and formulating a treatment plan that both of us can live with.
Cool.
Oh, is there like a specific mattress that you should use? In general?
I'll tell you what I recommend to patients, and that is that you should probably try to find the firmest mattress that you find comfortable. It doesn't do you any good to find a mattress that's really firm, but you can't sleep on it. Because if you don't sleep, you're going to have more problems. I will tell you this. When you see trucks up and down the highway that say chiropractor-approved mattresses, that just means that some chiropractor put their name on it. It doesn't mean that those are the best mattresses you should buy.
Oh.
The general rule of thumb is to find a mattress that's firm enough that you find to be comfortable but yet supports you so you don't sink into it. That's the general rule of thumb. The same. I just want to add this little piece here too because this is important. The same is true for pillows. When you find a pillow that's comfortable but helps to keep your head relatively in line with the rest of you, you're great. Whatever that pillow is, whatever it's made of, it doesn't matter. As long as you find it to be comfortable and it holds your head without propping it up too much or letting it drop too much if you sleep on your side, as an example. Those are important things. It doesn't matter what's inside the pillow or how much money it costs.
So her real question was, is a Tempur-Pedic really going to help you? That's what she kept talking about yesterday. I want a Tempur-Pedic.
Well, again, the same rules apply. I mean, if you're comfortable with it and it's pretty firm, so you don't just sink into it, you'll be happiest with it.
Good enough, Alondra?
Yes.
All right.
She's going to buy a Tempur-Pedic.
I'm going to tell my mom that she needs to buy a Tempur-Pedic because the chiropractor told me so.
I'm going to go on record here and tell you that. I didn't tell you that. But it doesn't matter what brand, even though apparently Tempur-Pedic is a good brand, it's well-made, et cetera. But there are lots of those out there.
Yeah.
You just have to look beyond advertising when it comes to mattresses and look to what you're really going to be doing on it, which is sleeping, and the impact the mattress will have on your sleep.
Cool. If someone wants to contact you, how can they do that? Do you have online resources or places you recommend?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
So if someone wants to get a hold of, they listen to this and they want to get a hold of you, or?
Sure. Well, they can call me directly at the college. My direct number is 281-998-5747. They can contact me through email, which is bwie@txchiro.edu. And they can do that. Either way, phone or email.
Cool.
All right. And then the online resource question was, if someone wants to, like I have Rehab Masters, so like if someone sprains an ankle, I print off this paper and give it to them and say, hey, these are the phases that we're going to go through. These are the exercises you need to do at home. Do y'all have any sort of maybe a go-to spot where if you don't have an answer or if someone says, hey, you go check out this website and they can tell you like that? Because typically ask.com isn't going to be the best spot to find answers.
No, you obviously have to be pretty careful when you look on the internet. That's the answer is no, we don't have a specific one resource that we would send anyone to. We don't have that type of thing.
Okay, well, fair enough. And we were watching a YouTube video to get ready for your visit, and the guy was popping the back or evaluating the back and cracking the neck, and he's like, now, if you are not a trained chiropractor, do not even attempt this. And so I guess that's kind of the reason you don't have any sort of resource, because you don't want somebody to...
Right, yeah. There's always a danger anytime you send someone to the internet of gauging the value of the information. You know, because the internet is, you can put anything on there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some really great information on the internet, and there's some really bad information, and it all looks the same, and it's easy. They're both accessible the same. So unless you can teach the person you're sending to the internet the difference between good and bad information, it's better not to send them there.
Fair enough.
All right.
We have a couple of comments from other ATCs, athletic trainers that I asked, but I don't think we're going to have time because the bell's about to ring and these kids are about to take off. But I think you more or less answered them in the sense that some are trained differently, some have specifications, and some sometimes step outside of their practice or step outside of their training.
Well, that could be true in nursing.
Yeah, just about any field.
Absolutely.
Any field, not just chiropractors.
Right.
So.
And so I don't want
to throw that in there.
Yeah, I don't want
to. It could be anybody that has that temptation to step out of there.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin the whole bunch because of the one bad apple or whatever and one bad experience. And so,
right.
I personally feel this is our tip here at the end of the show. There's always another tool I can add to my belt, and that's really why I wanted to meet with you guys as the chiropractors and see what do they do first. And then how is that going to benefit me? How is that going to benefit my athletes? And how are we going to work together to build a better athlete?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I hope that we were honest, and I hope that...
I would say this. If you're interested in getting involved with a chiropractor, if you're a trainer, for instance, and you're interested, go beyond the Yellow Page ad that says they treat sports injuries and ask them about their training experience that qualifies them to do those things.
Excellent.
Excellent. Very good.
Excellent.
Okay, well, we want to thank our special guest, Dr. Barry Weiss, Dean of Clinics for Texas Chiropractic College, and I hope I pronounced your last name right.
You did.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, well, that's better than I think I said wise at the beginning, didn't I?
You did. I let it go, though, because you said wise man.
Okay, and so I already said our little words of wisdom.
Yeah,
if you would like to contact us at all, you can check out our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training.
PHS Sports Med on Twitter, and our office phone is 713-740-0310, extension 01312, and if we don't answer, leave a message.
Or you can download the app, which has the podcasts and a couple other cool things for Android, PHS Athletic Training. So I think that's going to be a wrap.
That's a wrap. Yes.